saying good afternoon or good morning, depending upon where on this beautiful blue rock of ours you are finding us this afternoon. My name is Andrew Jupin. This is On Screen Live. We are here to talk about shit we saw in theaters over the weekend, the weekend box office analysis, reacting to quite a few trailers. And thanks to one of our beautiful castmates here, a couple of really rocking secret movies. All of this to get to right after I introduce my three best friends in the whole goddamn world. We have, first up, Chris Cabin.
And Max Fleischer. God damn, he sucked, huh? What? He looked too much like a Nazi. He just looked too much like a Nazi for me to feel comfortable copying his style. Wow, Jesus. Mizaki.
Hey, Chris.
What?
Yep, you're doing it again, dude.
Hi.
You're reading. Where are you finding all of these really angry autobiographies?
Well, on my nice bookshelf down here that I built terribly. I just completely fucked it up. But yeah, that's where it's from. And hey, I mean, like, everybody knows Miyazaki is a grump.
That's true.
He's a big time famous grump. Yes.
What was that that video of him like dressing down? Was it like
his son?
No. Was it? I don't care about that. Was it like an AI guy? I don't even know what that is. But the guy, they're like showing him. It's like some technical presentation, and he's like, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life," and that's unconscionable. Whatever.
That's essentially what he reacts to with almost everything, including his son's film.
Oh man. maybe Eric Siska will remember this slander that he had on AI or whatever it was. Let's bring him in here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, no, I don't remember that. I don't think I heard about that, but I would like to know more. And by the way, National Nightmare's over. I'm back here. I wasn't here last week to the dismay of thousands.
I know. Yes. I know. You were a little birthday boy last week.
I was a little pig and shit, wasn't I?
Drunk before noon, I hope.
Oh, of course. That's every day. So birthday, it's drunk before nine.
Oh, nice, dude. That's so it's your birthday. Them airplane rules coming to effect?
Exactly. International affair.
And last but not least, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadak.
My God, I'm stuck inside the Little Mermaid remake. I can't see anything. I can't see anything.
You're talking about the cinematography.
Everything's so photorealistic and shitty, and I'm scared.
Well, that's what's great about it, Steve. That's what's great about it, dude, because you know, under the sea, it's pretty dark, so that's realistic.
Wait, hold on.
Follow Sebastian.
He's kissed this lady, and oh my god, there we are. Everything's so good now.
Now you got crabs.
Crabs. Like, I just made out with a real photorealistic crab. I put my tongue inside.
What is the point of that? Is that interesting for children to see a real animal talk to you?
It's not. It's just because that's what they want. They want things to look more realistic. Like,
why?
That's what how they can make like drama. Like, they want. They don't want the creative endeavor anymore. So animation has like style and is creative. Yeah.
Chris,
like,
this is the Nazi view on art, right? Everything has to be realistic.
Yeah.
Yes. That's. Heaven I mean, forbid, it is.
Dynamism. Something exciting to look at.
Here's the thing. I'm sorry.
That color.
It does not matter how realistic your shit looks when you are talking crabs, fish, and birds that can all speak English.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's terrifying. I don't understand it.
It's always been so weird. And also because they do it, it's not just them that do it. Like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Splinter being photorealistic is so weird. To this day, the new ones look so weird to me because of
it's disgusting. It's disgusting. People are going fucking nuts because, of course, there's people out there that remembered the thing that I couldn't. So apparently it's a clip of Miyazaki. A team is showing him their like CGI animation engine in something called The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Oh, dear.
And they're showing this. This person sums it up. Young animation team shows him what their CGI animation engine can do. And they're showing him a video that has zombies and shit. And he's like totally nonplussed, like, you will bring about the death of our medium and shit like that, which is pretty great.
This is garbage.
That's right. A lot of garbage to get to this week, gang. Let's run the numbers. This is Highest Gross. So So we had a couple of new players on the block this week. First of all, I should say off the
top, I did not go to see a movie this weekend out of solidarity with the writer's strike.
Of course, I'm a good person.
Oh, of course, Eric. Yes.
That's not the reason.
But
speaking of
You didn't stream anything either, did you? You forgot to stream stuff.
Oh, wait, is that true? Oh, really? Oh, shit. That's what the contract's about.
Interesting. Interesting.
Speaking of the writer's strike, I saw something the other day. I was like, Blade, now delayed due to the writer's strike. Which is like, you know what? Going to the gym is delayed due to the writer's strike. I was just, oh my God, I was just about to go. Oh no. We were just about to make the Blade movie.
George R.R. Martin was about to finish it. And he's like, you know what? Out of solidarity, I'm not going to finish the book. I'm going to keep it in the fucking closet.
Oh, rats.
You know, speaking of movies that should have been kept in the closet, I don't know, put this one back in. It ain't done yet. Love Again. It's number five at the box office.
Dude, she is 0 for 200, man.
This Priyanka Chopra Jonas here?
Yes.
Yeah. They shouldn't be letting her in movies. She's a TV actress.
Now she's on that that Russo Brothers.
Citadel.
Yeah, that's a Russo Brothers thing.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yikes. You can sit this one out.
Yes.
But this debuted from Sony, another just gross failure from Sony. $2.4 million on a wide release.
You have to imagine this is all Celine Dion hardcore fans, right?
Like,
I don't know, dude. I guess that's the whole thing.
But this number is so low, dude. Where are those fucking Celine fans? Well, I know there's armies in the fucking hundreds of thousands.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this movie.
That's right.
And I go to the movies every week, except for this weekend. So.
Can I tell you that this is a stay tuned for one reason? Does anyone know what this movie is actually about?
No.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I get this right, Steve. Her fiance eats shit.
Yep.
And then she's feeling raw about it. So she starts texting the phone number, and it turns out this dead guy's phone number has already been given away to another sexy dude. Ooh.
Exactly. It's like from beyond the grave.
Frankencock.
Yes.
I would have liked it more if there was no other sexy guy and it was just a ghost. If we're talking dumb as shit personal shopper, I'm really happy. then I'm on board. Then I'm really.
Who is this? Who's the fella?
Isn't that Sam Hume? Outlander guy?
Chris, what you're doing is you are remaking P.S. I Love You as a movie called Three Ghostly Dots, which I really like. You know what I mean? I'm texting you from beyond the grave.
I'm here with your brother.
I'm using data.
He sends a dick pic and it's just a pelvic bone.
The outline.
Fucking skeleton.
It's a boner. Technically, a skeleton's a boner.
Sure. Where was it now? Someone had. I'm going to address this because it comes up quite a bit. I don't know what is so confusing about it. Michael chimes in, just joined the broadcast here. Andrew's just slugging on some white lightning. Folks, you never put just seltzer in a mason jar. I don't know why this is such a fucking mystery.
It's moonshine, my friend.
I wish, man. It ain't my birthday, dude. I can't be fucking drinking that early.
Sure.
So no folks at home. Just some water.
I think that's the Outlander guy, very handsome Irish big fella.
That's great. So we'll be tuning into that never. But here we go. Week two. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Nice. Still holding in there. Another 3.38 mil. Yeah, it's a good hold for a movie such as that, especially with things coming out that may have swayed the audience attention there.
Still highly suggested. If you haven't seen it yet, absolutely go see it. It's a really nice little movie.
Keeping steady-ish at number three is Evil Dead Rise.
Wow.
And we all know that guy. Raking another, you know, just over 5.5 mil. Not too shabby.
Might be my playing movie. We're going to have to see. Actually, let me know. Is that not a playing movie? Is it getting a little too sexy or, you know what I mean?
Oh, Lord, no.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, is it or too gross where, like, if there's, like, a five-year-old behind me, I'm the asshole.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, it's that you don't want. It's very gross. Yeah. It is very gross. Also, I don't know if the lighting is something you're going to be able to.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
It is not very good in that movie either.
A blanket over the back of the other guy's seat.
Maybe that would work. Maybe.
Cool. Excuse me, this is my movie fort? Where's my diet coat?
You're just tapping the guy in front of you. Excuse me, I have to give you, I do this every time. You're going to have a little blanket behind your head just for a little bit. Just a little bit.
I need you to sit back. I need you to put your head back to secure my movie for it.
It's very expensive, I promise. I think
it's very reasonable. The price you're paying on these airline tickets.
Right. Whoa.
I got it.
What about the food, Steve?
Great question. Dude, great. That needs to be explored for comedy. Someone needs to do it.
Especially the small items. You know, the snack food, like the peanuts, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody needs to do that.
Somebody needs to blow the lid off them peanuts. So our friend here rocked from the number one spot.
Our friend
Mario.
Our friend.
Number two. Another fucking over 18 and a half million.
The only thing that can kill Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt, it seems. That's right, dude.
He's got a real time cop scenario on his hands here. I will say.
I think he's going to be the kid from Hereditary eventually. I don't know. They keep on putting him in these movies where he isn't that good, but like the movies themselves do incredibly. Like, I don't think anybody is seeing Super Mario Brothers because Chris Pratt is in it.
No, I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters at all. And like, I guess Guardians to a degree because he is such a big deal at this point, but like, whatever that Amazon show is, all that shit.
No.
Nobody's watching this for him.
What, the Terminalist? I think we said it was.
Yeah. People watch that shit, but it is not for him. It is because of the material.
Also, those are shut-ins. You know, they just, you know, it's like an old veteran, you know, with his little glass of actual white lightning. Just, I'm watching this show.
You know, I've never made myself a Terminalist. I'm going to, you know, thank you, Chris Pratt. I'm going to make myself a Terminalist.
My kids don't talk to me anymore. Might as well watch the Terminal List.
I just don't think the demographic watching that show is necessarily running out for Chris Pratt feature films. Yeah.
But
if you are 100% cut off from speaking to your family, that show is for you.
It's the boy from the Friday Night Lights. He's in it too. Don't you like him?
Which one?
Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, we'll see now.
Don't you dare.
He's gonna do it.
Speaking of doing it, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, number one, performing right pretty much at the tracking, $114 million.
Do you think it'll fall like a rock next week?
Great question.
I mean,
we'll get into all of it. It's pretty safe to say I liked it the most out of everybody, but I do think that it might fall a little bit because I think there might be some bad word of mouth about the stuff that people don't like, which is the animal stuff. And I think that might turn some people off, maybe rightfully or wrongfully, but animal stuff.
I wish.
Yeah, really.
I honestly fucking wish.
I mean, I don't even know what next week release wise is. I don't have it in my head right now.
It's quiet. Yeah.
It'll be in my coast then for next week.
Vin comes out the weekend after.
I will say, just because we were talking about Chris Pratt, I like him in all these movies, and I think he's really great in this one as well. It's the exception to the rule of Chris Pratt. I like him as Star-Lord. They're written well for him in this movie. He has the least to do in the three of the films that he's leading, but I still was like, "Oh wow, Chris Pratt as Star-Lord still bringing it." I like the character.
He's a comedy actor, and that's the problem with even stuff like Jurassic World is not comedy enough for him.
Yeah, for sure.
It's handsome guy stuff.
We'll get into it more when we talk about it. But I will say, just looked it up. Next weekend, it's right in time for Mother's Day. So this makes sense. Book Club, the next chapter.
It might get fucked then, because Book Club 2 could just storm in and fuck the Guardians right now.
What is Book Club? Now, is this a Randy Old Lady's getting shagged?
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's like... Hotel Marigold Hotel, but with like American actors.
Right, basically. They put the bookmark in her.
It's 80 for Brady's first version. It's the first version of that.
You have Jane Fonda in both of them.
Yes, she is in both.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You work all week. You run around. You make sure you're taking care of your boss, your coworkers, suppliers, clients, and whatever else you have there. Then on the weekend, you want to cut loose.
so you see family and friends, spend time catching up and dedicating time to those important people in your life. But when do you spend time on yourself? And you know what? Sleep does not count. I'm in the same boat. Honestly, you add Eric Siska into that mix, it's a total time suck, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why I look forward to my weekly therapy session for just that reason. It's a great place where I can spend time bettering myself and work on those issues that are important to me. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WHM.
Do you think that they'll have those Italian bookmarks that I made of the Guardians of the Galaxy, a little
I
crossover?
I think, dude, because guaranteed they didn't fucking use them all up in 2014.
No. Oh, no, they're in a fucking an Italian landfill
We should
somewhere.
Mention that Italian bookmark story is on our Patreon-exclusive Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 podcast that is available Patreon right now, patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
All those were dumped from a plane over Uganda. And like Nabwana IGG is the only person who can get them now. Like they're gone
food,
otherwise.
We want food, not bookmarks.
All right. So just real quick at the art market here. Chile 76 opened up from the good folks at Kino Lorber's on two screens here in New York. 16K. I do want to see it. It's supposed to be a very good political thriller. It was at New Directors, New Films. I missed it. But yeah, really looking forward to that. So Chris, you had another art market thing?
I did. I will say I heard quite a lot about Chile 76. I think it's been, I've been getting spammed by Kino about it. I saw a movie that I wanted to cover during our New York Film Festival coverage because it was there. It was also at Toronto last year, Queens of the Qing Dynasty. It's from a Canadian director named Ashley McKenzie, who did a movie called Werewolf a couple years ago that is really fucking good.
It's great, man. That's a tough movie, but yes.
Really, really, really lean and mean addiction drama. And this is about a similar terrain. It's about a young person with mental illness, and they make a relationship with their volunteer advocate at a hospital. And it is, but it, that's like the basic story. But Ashley McKenzie does all this weird, wild stuff with trying to evoke the interior life and like putting attention to a lot of the things I didn't think were put into attention with Guardians of the Galaxy or any, much of anything else on the top five other than Are You There, God, Me, Margaret. It's only, as far as I know, it's only at Metrograph right now. I assume it will go on the VOD market very soon after that. Yeah. But if you're in New York, I would suggest going and seeing it on the big screen. If not, I would look out for it on VOD. It's really, really worth seeing.
There you go. Chris Cabin Art Corner update. All right, gang. So moving ahead here, before we get to the rest of the stuff here, we got to take a quick break because, fellas, we are going on tour very, very soon. You may even say the first show is next week.
Wow. Yes. God. Here's hoping this cold is gone. That's what we're hoping for.
We will be talking Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home at Cobb's Comedy Club in beautiful San Francisco, California. That's on May 18th. Very excited for that. It's the first time we're talking Star Trek in person. Bring you know, a blanket, maybe some slippers. We're going to be there a while, gang.
Also, ponchos. We will be bringing watermelons. Yes. And also, we'll be dressing them up as whales and then smashing them.
That's right. And then on the 22nd, it's a Monday night. Extend your weekend to come see us at Hollywood Improv. Talking Twins, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito comedy masterpiece. I got to say, this show maybe sold out by the time we're done with this episode.
Update. It is sold out now.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
It just sold out.
That's crazy. So sorry about that, folks. The Twins show is indeed sold out. Very cool. Very, you know, very like our LA audiences.
Yes. Thank you, LA, for supporting our show and coming out.
All the more reason for San Francisco not to fuck around on that Star Trek show. You're gonna get sold out too. You want to get them ticks.
That's right. So folks, you know, there's always stuff coming down the movie poop shoot, and we got to catch these trailers while we can to figure out what we may be making fun of at the end of the year. So this is a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. All right, the first one up, I think we're all pretty excited for it. Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2. You know, the not sequel, but continuation of, we should say, his 2021 Dune movie, which I loved quite a bit. We did a WLM on that one.
We did. That's also an exclusive episode available on Patreon right now.
I'm
excited because the first one ends when she's like, so what do you want for lunch? And he's like, and they cut. And that's the end of the movie. So like, we'll find out what he wants for lunch.
And then we're at the lunch. Could you pass the spice?
His eyes are turning all fucking blue. He's just chowing down.
Where do you want me to put the chicken? Where did you want me to put the chicken? Oh,
between your knees.
Yes.
So here we go. Dune Part 2. You got this queued up here, folks?
I do.
Oh, yeah. All right. And folks at home should say, by the way, as tradition now, of course, in the episode description here below on YouTube, you can find the exact trailer links to the stuff we'll be watching if you want to watch along. So here we go. Dune Part 2 in 3, 2, 1, go.
Is this a trailer before a trailer?
That's a dune.
No, guys, that's a dune. No, I think we're
it
in
is
it.
A dune. Okay, we're in it. Okay. They opened on a dune. Okay.
Man, just talking to someone about swimming.
Sand swimming. We go sand swimming.
He's talking about water
summer.
Swimming.
I think he's probably talking about like Scrooge McDuck money swimming with these fancy houses here.
Ooh, Florence Pugh. I got to be honest, man. If I was that Tom Holland dude, a little twerpy guy, and this other little twerpy guy is working with my girlfriend, I'd be like, hey, man, watch out.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Steve. You got to be cool with guy friends, okay?
Yeah, it's true.
You got to cool it out.
Uh-oh, Austin Butler. Here comes Elvis. Ooh, Drax. Yep.
Oh, yeah. So many bald weirdos. I love it. This just looks so fucking gorgeous, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. You know, it would be a turn for Denny to do something like this, but when he, like, mounts the worm here... If the movie cut to like a Kenny Loggins tune, that would be pretty right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or, I mean, Danger Zone would also work.
Danger Zone
it should
work.
Be a giant groundhog that dances instead of a worm.
Buy Arrakis? You'd like to buy Arrakis?
Oh my God, Rodney Dangerfield is the Harkonnens.
Oh, better put the princess back in. She's not done yet.
No, but the blue eyes look good on you, though.
Nice sandworm. Did it come with a pair of pants? Oh.
You'd have Bill Murray looking for these sandworms, you know?
You're a sandworm. Yeah. You think you run this desert? I'm going to show you a thing or two, sandworm. Oh, look at those thropters, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Zendaya is good in these movies, man.
Yeah. She's barely in that first one, so I'm excited to watch her do more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Now we are fucking talking. Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to look out for those Harkonnens. I hear they're brutal. That's what I hear.
It's going to be a long summer and fall waiting for this movie, man.
Yeah, dude.
I'm super pumped. I was actually reminded because I'm still, you know, I said I was going to have it done before the first movie came out. Did not happen. But I'm trying to go through that book. And it's just hilarious to me how, remember when everybody was pissed off when that first movie came out? Because they were like, typical male director. Zendaya is just not even given anything to do. And everybody was like, You didn't read the book. That was funny. People are ignorant.
I always love when people get mad about stuff immediately.
Sure. That's the best time to get mad about something. Immediately.
gonna get some, see something to get mad about, man, because I am sick and tired of seeing fucking red doors. I'll tell you what, Insidious. The red door.
Well, I see a red door and I want to paint it black.
Dude, honestly, I wish somebody would.
Yep, totally. Because as Steve and I discussed on the series wrap up of Star Trek Picard, one of our mutual problems with it was the red door imagery. It's way too Stranger Things. Now you got a red door there. You got a red door here. I mean, red door's in the fucking title of this one, man.
Red door in American Beauty. Maybe Mudu Suvari's behind this red door with their flower titties.
Is in the nether zone. Then that's
oh,
yeah. Really could get really bad.
Picard was finding ghosts on that?
It's possible. Oh, no.
There's a red door, Mr. Data. Perhaps there's a ghoulie or boogeyman in it.
But yes, this is Insidious, the red door. Directed by Patrick Wilson, by the way.
Wow.
Due out this summer. Yeah, totally.
Fingers crossed.
I did not see the fourth one of these. I've seen one through three.
Ooh, one and done. And I might see this one, but I might not watch any of the other ones in between.
Don't really need to.
Yeah, I think that's going to be what the
movie. You can read the Wikipedia page. If you are lost.
Well, this, I mean, we'll watch the trailer, Chris Cabin, but it's a clear, like, this is connected to those earlier movies. So okay. There might be some confusion here. We also do have a trailer for the trailer. But this is Insidious, the Red Door in 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, here it comes.
Yep. Oh, we're counting down.
Lynn Shay
got the trailer for the trailer.
Oh, yeah. That's what's going to happen. Oh, look. Oh, we just watched it. It's happening again.
That the demon in that first movie still scares the shit out of me, man.
It's great. Is he mementoing?
Yeah, I think he's like losing his mind because he's been like traveling through the ghost realm and whatnot.
Ooh. You do that enough times, dude, your brain turns into Swiss cheese.
Absolutely, man. Then you're getting strangered like this guy now.
Oh, there was no one there. Oh, wait.
Yep.
Oh, well, that didn't happen.
Oh, look at that.
What is going on here,
kid? Come on. Patrick Wilson, how about some parenting, man? Got to get that kid a haircut. Now, this is Ty. What's this kid's name?
It is the same kid from the first one.
It is. He was just in something as an adult.
Yeah.
You're right.
Is he in The Whale? Is he the kid from The Whale?
Possibly. You might be right on that.
Yeah. I'll never know the answer to that question.
You don't need to.
No. All right. We're spooky scary. I like
it. Oh, absolutely. Nah. Yeah, we're getting there.
Oh, shit, a digital metronome. That's the scariest one of all.
Oh, my God. It's like you pressed the wrong button on GarageBand.
Was that Marcia from Stranger Things? I could almost see that. There we go.
Oh, there it is. Creeping me out. Yeah, this is Ty Simpkins. He is in The Whale. He's also the little kid in Iron Man 3 who they brought back to that fucking funeral. Oh, yeah.
It's not that scary yet.
This fucking Tiny Tim song is terrifying.
That is terrifying, yeah.
That guy was a huge creep.
Wonderful musician, though.
Yeah.
Voice of an angel, really.
All right.
I don't know. Has anyone just tried leaving that ghost realm alone? It's just,
they don't want to be fucked with.
It's for ghosts. You're not a ghost. Would you get out of the ghost realm?
Leave it the hell alone. Totally.
Exactly.
Well, there we go. All right.
But look, I am very happy that they didn't ruin the twist at the ending. When Tar comes in, Lydia Tar, for Patrick Wilson is like, what did you do to my metronome? What did you do to it? Did you touch it? I got up in the middle of the night because you touched my metronome.
Even the video game composing like washes out and she has to go do the conduct the symphony of the damned in the ghost dimension.
Oh, like dude. It. Yeah. Now that is her ultimate terrible gig.
Right.
Satan's conductor.
That's for sure. So Lee Wanell story credit here, but he didn't write the screenplay.
Okay.
This is another ghosty movie we got on deck here, huh?
We got a lot, dude. But this dude, Scott Teams, who has the writing credit, also has a writing credit on Halloween Kills. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know, Kevin. Keep it together, man. We got one more trailer here. Here we go. Haunting in Venice.
Oh, now, it's like a sad clown or something, huh? What is that?
It's a skull, dude.
But the skull doesn't have a nose.
Yeah, well, in this movie, it does.
Special skull.
Of course, the third in these Kenneth Branagh, Agatha Christie.
Oh, no.
What are you serious?
I didn't know what this is at all. I just figured it was a monster movie.
Yeah, like a Ghost in Venice or something.
Yeah, no, not like a Haunting in Connecticut, friends.
This was like the sequel to The Pope's Exorcist. He just like drives over to Venice.
Yeah, they just greenlit it immediately.
Sign me up for that movie because that fucking first movie does set up a whole bevy of sequels, which I would watch.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to check it out, though.
Now, I just watched the first one of these, the Murder on the Orient Express remake. I did not see, what was it? Murder in...
Oh,
Death on the Nile.
It's Death on the Nile. I didn't see that one. I saw the first one.
To fill the Nile.
Right. Yeah, that's why I watched it for that. And I think Armie Hammer is in that one.
It is, because that was like, after all his stuff came out, I was like, how do we manage this movie? Mm. And the thing was, it came out and still made a ton of money. So here we are with A Haunting in Venice.
I really thought it was going to be a goblin movie or something.
Me too.
All right, so if you fucking wish. All right, Steve, are you ready?
Yep.
Oh, all right. 3, 2, 1, go.
So if Armie Hammer was in the last one, which cannibal is going to be in this one?
That's my question. Interesting.
I don't know.
Maybe one of the Italians from Cannibal Holocaust?
I like that.
Possible, yeah.
Everyone?
Cannibal Man from Cannibal Man. Who?
All right, who do we got here? Oh, that guy. Yeah. He was on The Path.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That guy kind of sucks, actually.
Yeah, he's like Heath Ledger light.
Yeah, I saw him in that awful Rosalind movie. Hoo-hoo-hoo.
The fuck?
Okay. Oh, Michelle Yeoh. Okay.
All right, that's not nothing. So I know it's a fucking seance, but someone turn a light on.
No.
Looks boring. God. This looks boring.
So yeah. My guess is because Agatha Christie, it's not actual ghosts. Of course, the idea.
Yeah, there's no paranormal shit here, man. This is like.
They're trying to trick you.
It's Scooby-Doo.
It's Scooby-Doo. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Where's that giant fucking mustache already?
Where is he?
We are really pretending that there are ghosts in this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because people want ghosts, Steve, so they have to bring in them in through the ghosts.
Guys, that's Tina Fey in this movie. Oh, boy. There we go. There's that mustache. Course.
Yeah, he's the hammer drop.
He's taking a piss?
Dude,
Poirot just taking a huge, chonky piss, man.
I like to piss in the faucet.
Maybe not in the book, but in this movie, it looks like there are ghosts, which... Sound off in the comments if you know the book and if there are ghosts, because I'm never going to watch it.
Jesus. Death is just the beginning on 9/15, folks.
My ghost will be there. I will not be in attendance, but my ghost will be. They will be there.
Stay out of the ghost dimension.
Yeah. Lousy Riverdale punks. Someone says... It's a short story, apparently.
Okay.
Okay.
Which means not as much source material to work from.
Needs to be a 2.5-hour feature film.
It's a short film, so it's going to be a 2.5-hour movie, of course. Oh, absolutely. Every fucking time. It's like 50 pages, I bet.
Chock full of ghosts.
Oh, yeah, all ghosts? I don't know. I do not know.
I really don't. I don't know how this movie, this series became a thing. I really
money,
don't know
money,
why.
Money, money,
money.
I guess.
Money.
Well, you know, we
belabor lack of like movies for adults. And if it's not like a granny getting fucked in a hotel,
I guess
it's going to be this.
Isn't it? Yeah, I guess that's it, isn't it? Yeah. This is as close to adult as we get in the. Yeah.
Balls out the granny adventure. I like that.
Well, actually, so this wasn't. The last one wasn't a super hit, actually. I'm looking at the numbers here. It did. So this is February of 22. Domestically, just over 45 million. Not great. Worldwide, 130 million, give or take. Yeah, not a huge sensation. So I think this is one of those, like, there's so little non-superhero things for adults these do kind of okay.
But even that one, with current travel agent Armie Hammer in it, I think they don't really have, like, other than Michelle Yeoh, I don't know if they those aren't stars. Like Tina Fey, maybe the girl, the lady from Yellowstone. Like, I'm just like, yeah. I guess
I don't know who that is. You got Jamie Dornan. That's kind of a big deal.
Also, like, but like, at maybe if it came out around like when 50 Shades come out, he's a star then. Yeah. But like at this point, none of this other than Michelle Yeoh really is like, hey,
you know who's actually in this movie? She's not a household name, but Camille Catin, the woman, the French actress, she was in Stillwater with Matt Damon, and she was in like House of Gucci. She's the woman that like Adam Driver leaves Lady Gaga for. So she's like a total under the radar actress, but I think she is really great. So that's kind of interesting.
So I wasn't going to buy a ticket before, and I'm still not going to buy a ticket.
Yeah. I think you're safe there, dude. You're safe there. Good rental. All right. So here we go. We kind of got into it a little bit, but let's do some non-spoilery thoughts here on the big one for the weekend. I think the order of liking it is Steve the most, me somewhere in the middle, and Chris at the back end.
And I didn't see it out of support for the writer's strike.
Eric was going to write Blade 2, the Blade movie this weekend, but he just couldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say that from when I left the theater on Saturday afternoon until now, I have lightened a little more on the movie, but I still don't think it's quite the speed of the other two. So Steve, maybe start us off with your thoughts and liking it as much as you did.
Yeah, I'll just helicopter it. I think that it's definitely the least of the three. That's an easy one. That was almost baked in. You know what I mean?
Like, nobody's fighting that.
The first two were just so good. And the second was so surprisingly good compared to the first one. I like the first one the best now thinking about it, because it has the most of that anarchic energy, which does lessen with each movie. And this movie has the least of it. I think this movie has the worst soundtrack as well. I promise I'll start liking it in a second. Because I think the whole, which is a great joke in the second movie, the Zune, which opens it up to all kinds of music, all this music, it just becomes clumpy and like just, it does sort of feel like you are listening to someone's Zune in the mid-aughts, where it's like, oh, now I'm listening to this song. Now I'm listening to the acoustic Radiohead version. Now I'm listening to whatever Feist or whatever the hell is at the end of that movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. All sorts of stuff. So, long story short, though, I think that it does really well with all the characters that it has. I think, Karen Gillan's fantastic. I think Pom Clementeef is really great as Mantis. I love what they give them to do. And I think that, like, I do think that Chris Pratt as Star-Lord has a ton to do. He has a lot of emotional investment here. It's very funny. The sequence when they break into the facility is really funny and sharp and visually interesting. Similarly, Counter Earth is really sharp and visually interesting. And I wanted to look up the guy's name because I don't want to butcher it. But he was great in Peacemaker as the villain. And he is also great here, which I think it's Chuck Woody something. Hold on. As the High Evolutionary. Chuck, I'm gonna look
Chuck,
it up.
Chuck Woolery, huh?
Chuck Woolery is great. Chuck Woody Awuji. Probably butchering the pronunciation. He is a great cigar chomp and villain. Again, in that sort of high status mode that Lee Pace is. You know what I mean? Like, how dare you, blah blah blah, ruin my golf course, kind of. I think that he plays well against these characters, and I do think the big thing is the animal torture stuff, which is the rocket flashbacks, which that's not a spoiler. That's everywhere now that those are. Like, that's something that's been like sort of set up in those earlier movies. You see like Rocket's back and it's all gnarly and like it does make you feel more for the character. I do think that we could have done with less of it, but it doesn't bother me, especially with, you know, Gunn being a vegetarian, kind of an animal rights guy. Like, that's what we're kind of talking about. I think there could have been less. We could have toned down the heat a touch. But overall, I really liked it.
Had I known there was so much animal torture in it, I would have gone.
Oh, you would have crossed that picket line, dude.
Well, if you're fucking kicking around a raccoon in there. Yeah,
sure. I will say, like, I just don't agree that any of that was necessary, because like I fucking get it, man. I saw two movies with this little thing with the scars on its back and yada. And like, it just, it stops everything dead. And frankly, like, again, this isn't a spoiler because it's like the inciting incident of the movie and the reason for the flashbacks. But like, for one reason or another, Rocket is sidelined for a little bit of the movie. And by a little bit, I mean most of it. Sure. And you don't realize how much Bradley Cooper plays into all this until you get a movie where 85% of it, he's laying on a table, not doing anything.
Yep.
So that really took me out of it. I think it's interesting. And I was sort of working on this idea after coming out of the theater, but like, this is the first Guardians movie since like all of these characters were run through the fucking Avengers ringer. And I think that really sort of puts them all in this like not as, I mean, traditional Guardians position, meaning the two other movies we've seen, where it's like, it's just bouncier. And like so many of these movies are fucking dour. Like you got cancer storyline in that Thor movie and so on. So like, I don't know. I look to these movies to sort of like remove myself from that stuff. And like, you're just in it with this shit. And like, because of all the events in Avengers, like Gamora's just like whatever this other character is now. And that did absolutely nothing for me. I think Zoe Saldana is great, but I just didn't like where everybody is left with her by the end of this movie. Like it just, everything about that was like, it felt a little shoulder shruggy to me. And honestly, the part that felt most Guardians, most like goofy, you know, whatever, was all the shit with like Kraglin and that dog.
Yeah.
Anytime they cut back to them, I was like, okay, this is the tone.
Maria Bakalova as Cosmo is fucking Cosmo. Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted more of that. I mean, you know, I don't know that anybody was really pumping their fist for more Kraglin besides Sean Gunn, but like, I like that character.
Sure.
And him, like, you know, trying to master Yondu's arrow is interesting for me. And they're just like kind of barely there. I think Bautista's fucking great.
Yep.
Palm Clemente is great. You know, Pratt again, you know, I would watch him do this again if they wanted to. It just, there was something about it all that just didn't work right. And honestly, as far as the villain goes, Steve, I was not picking up what that guy was putting down at all. And I wonder if it was something to do with like the time in which I went to the bathroom. Cause I just feel like, cause you know, I was at Draft House.
Sure.
I was drinking and like, I had to go to the bathroom and I feel like I maybe just missed something that was a little more key to that character or something. Cause I was like, I don't know what this guy wants other than power.
No, you didn't. You didn't miss anything. You didn't miss fucking anything, Andrew. Like, just please.
I have pulled the plug from the dam. Here we go. All right.
Fucking, like, it'd be one thing if they focused on him and he was the actual, like, that, if that was the real hone of it all. But, like, if that's what we were centering in, I was this fucking confrontation between Rocket and him, which does happen eventually. But, like, he's just in this morass. Like, I was just kind of like, exactly like you. I was like, oh, he's just here to be like, oh, hi, I'm the villain guy. Hello there. See the suit? Yes, very villain-like, right? And I talk like one, too. I don't buy the vegetarian shit as the reason for this at all, because it's not like they're being eaten. It's not like any of that. If anything, I buy more like we shouldn't be experimenting on animals.
Well, I disagree with that.
I know you do, Eric, and I respect your opinion, but like with the stuff coming out about Elon Musk and shit like that, I can at least understand that part of it. But like,
sure. Wait, how does this fucking prick work into this discussion?
He's tested stuff on like chips.
He's trying to do like, I'll make monkeys so smart.
Yes, boy, you'll be sorry. Your face will be red when I create the Planet of the Apes pedophile. Yeah.
That's what he's essentially trying to do, the genius.
Yes. Yes, vegetarianism and I think animal testing kind of go hand in hand.
But I don't see it that way because he's been really pumping it up about that part of it, which if that's your opinion, that's fine. But I don't think that's what he's showing here. The bigger thing to me is like the Rocket thing. I honestly got all I need. Like, I don't think this adds anything to him. Like,
no.
Him hanging out with the toys from Sid's backyard is not like is not to me some great key into a personality that I already know. I know him already. It's not.
I agree. It's nothing.
There's nothing. And then so literally the only thing you have it there for is for bad vibes for the one fucking series where the whole fucking point is the good vibes. Mm. And then like it's not so, even that. Well, sorry.
Can I ask you something, Chris?
Sure.
Was it just too scary?
Was
it too scary?
I was under my seat and I was like shivering for most of it. So I didn't actually watch it all, Steve. So
Chris watched half the movie like this. It's like,
Is it over yet?
I do think that one, and your opinion is totally valid. And I know a lot of people were really turned off by it. And it does, you know, I think it gums the movie up in, you know, not advantageous ways, specifically in a movie that, you know, should be mostly primarily a comedy, as all these are primarily comedies. I just do think that, like, I found it kind of sweet that there is, like, this, I don't know, like, there's, like, pushing on the trauma and the torture of it all makes Rocket a stronger character to me. And, like, sort of at the end, when he does confront him, when he does have his, like, sort of signature line there, which I'm not going to say here,
yeah,
it moved me. I was like, you know what? That, you know what? We've all gotten there. I do wholeheartedly agree that, like, it's just too heavy. We're too heavy-handed with it. If it was halved, if it was like 7 minutes instead of 15 to 20 of, like, I would have got it. Oh man, that sucks. Look at all right. these sweet other characters. Look at the kid characters from Sid's backyard. But I'll let you continue. I'm sorry.
I know. I mean, I don't have like much to say. I just like, and the soundtrack stuff. I mean, that is, yeah. we are, I don't know if we're ever going to get out of it now, gang. The playlist movies are here to stay, I think. Like, yeah. You're going to have these movies where they just, let's have a soundtrack that people from who grew up in the 90s or the early aughts really like.
Well, even
and therefore,
Air,
they'll like the movie.
Even Air did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, it's everywhere. Like, Craig Gillespie does this all the fucking time. But this, I think all Disney movies do this now, too. Love and Thunder did it. Quantumania, to a lesser degree, did it.
But to be fair, they started it. This is the movie that started it.
But and that's why it's most disappointing, though, because like with the other two, it's a playlist. And there's a difference between a curated playlist and a collection of good songs strung together oddly. And like that's all of the songs. I think I don't know about all because I don't remember them. But like the drops that I remember thinking like great song. Feels kind of weird here.
Yes,
it does. I mean, it has that feeling of literally being at a party in, you know, 2009 and somebody has their iPod and the thing. And like, I go up to it. I'm like, ooh, I like this one. And then Chris goes up to it. And he goes, ooh, which is actually what the characters are kind of doing. So that like, maybe I'm giving it too much credit, but it still doesn't work thematically as a movie. And it's weaker than the other two because the other two were much more narrow in scope in terms of like when the songs came out.
Right. If this party you're speaking of was awake, I'd understand that. but like but like I really do like the like everybody likes the No Sleep Till Brooklyn sequence, and I'm just like, what connection does this have to anything other than badass? And then I the other one that drives me insane, and I know we all have very mixed relationship with this movie. They use. Right before the last big sequence is about to happen, they do the same needle drop as Empire Records does when they're ending their movie. And I'm telling you, that was a direct missile towards like people who graduated in 2001.
Yeah.
Like from high school. Like that was a direct missile. They were trying to get them so keyed in because like, isn't this just like Empire Records, everybody? Aren't we having so much fun? Didn't you enjoy the 30 minutes of raccoon torture that's in the middle of Empire Records?
Here's the thing, right? If they use the amount of like dark shit that something like Empire Records has instead of like Animal Holocaust.
Sure.
That's good. A way easier way to sort of write the vibe.
Gambling?
Ship.
Gambling's fine. Right. You want to go gambling? Rocket has a gambling issue? I'm
gambling,
cool, man.
Gambling, little bit of a pseudo suicide situation there. You know, but that movie manages to pull out of that in a way that this kind of doesn't. I will say another big complaint, because I thought the guy was actually really good. I always forget that this dude exists. This actor Will Poulter, who's been in, you know, a bunch of things.
He's great.
But he's like a fucking Maze Runner kid, so I don't fuck with that.
He's great in We're the Millers, a really good little comedy.
Yeah. He's one of the fucking douchebags in Midsommar, I think, too.
Yep, yes. He is.
But like, you know, him as Adam Warlock, which is kind of like, it's, you know, they're sort of building him at the end of that second movie, I was like, pretty cool, pretty big character. Yeah. Where's this dude through most of the movie, man? Fucking snoozing somewhere.
That was a weird thing. I was curious whose idea Adam Warlock was. Maybe Marvel was like, you got to do Adam Warlock. You got to do Adam Warlock. And it's right. Like, sure. What if we forgot about him for 30 minutes at a time?
yes.
And dude. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of like dudes with tattoos of Adam Warlock were very upset about that. I thought, I mean, yes, I do think like you probably want one more story beat for him to work clearer and cleaner, but like I was okay with it. I do love the moment when the High Evolutionary comes in to dress down Elizabeth Debicki and has to stand on a pedestal to do so. Yeah. I was like, that's hilarious. I don't know. Yes. Just yes, little touches fun. Like that. I'm like, this is still the movie that I love.
Right? I wanted them to push a little more of the weird like incest shit, because you yes. got like both of these like attractive gold beings, and yes. it's just like, oh mother, what should be doing now, mother? Oh mother, what do you think about this? And I yes. was like, mommy wants to fuck. Yes. Like that's kind of going on there, but they don't really do much with it.
Mommy wanted to fuck at the end of Guardians 2, was it, where yep. they show up? Yeah. And then what, like 8 years passed by?
it's been a long time. This blood that's vendetta, they've had it simmered on the stove for a little while.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, folks, yeah. there's sort of some spoiler free ish thoughts. You know, I still think like it's a recommend. Like I would say people should go have fun and go see it. And who, you know, maybe I'll get on my fucking bullshit where like, you know, it'll be streaming sometime next year and I'll be like, you know, we watched that Guardians 3 and I was kind of wrong, but I don't know. I'll have to see. I just really was taken aback by the vibes and that was a bit of a bummer
for sure.
Now, Eric Siska, you did your own kind of movie watching this weekend, and you got a couple of updates from the field that we're going to, what are we saying, Steve?
Well, he's just in the middle of it. He was solidarity. It was all about solidarity.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's why I wasn't at the movie theater. Yeah.
That's why he rented movies that have no writers. He was so good. He kept it up.
Exactly.
It was good for him.
Well, I have a feeling with a couple of these, you may not be able to tell that they were written by people in a segment we call Secret Movie.
That movie wasn't supposed to see the light of day.
So, Eric, you have two here, one of which I've been kind of dancing around for a while, but you did pull the trigger on The Ritual Killer.
Ritual Killer. My God. Take in this poster, folks.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. You got Morgan Freeman not knowing where he is. Cole Hauser.
Out of the two secret movies, this is the one to see. Yes, of course, Red Box Entertainment.
Yeah. Yes, totally.
I also love the shoe polish he's got. He's sporting there, like Cole Hauser.
Look at that, dude. Yeah.
Morgan Freeman barely in the movie, of course. Cole Hauser throughout the movie. Oh, I'm a cop. Oh, cops like whiskey. Oh, what's that? I'm having a vision of my dead daughter. Oh, my daughter dies.
These are all original things that I like
right.
to hear.
Yeah, see,
this is because the fucking robot wrote it.
But what's very interesting about the movie is he's investigating a crime scene and they're taking kids and they're torturing them and killing them. Sort of QAnon adjacent. To wrap it even further, they're being ritualistically killed by a guy who's like the descendant of the Zulus, and it's like this whole
madness.
You get Morgan Freeman in there, so it doesn't seem as racist, because he plays a professor of African studies, and he's just like, he's trying to harness their muti, and how he does that is he has to cut off their genitals while they're still alive. Yes, children's genitals while they're still alive. And you know something, Cole Hauser ain't too dissimilar from those vaccines made out of stem cells.
Oh, that
we're
is
we're talking
beautiful.
Vaccines a little bit?
One line.
Yeah!
We're signaling to all the worst people and multiple times during the movie. It is a bad movie, but due to the fact it's willing to go there and be contemptible, it makes it interesting in a way that the other secret movie is just not interesting at all.
We are working on a Cole Hauser right-wing entertainment universe here.
Yeah.
Because he's got Ritual Killer. He is a mainstay on Yellowstone as what sounds like exactly this character also putting the shoe polish in the beard.
There's even scenes they try to be globetrotting. There's some guy's like, oh, and some guy on the phone's like, yes, I'm an Italian cop and they've taken 6 children out of Spain. You know, it's like this whole thing about children going missing around the world.
You're convincing me, dude.
Shit.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I was doing the prep work this morning. And so, Eric, I was looking over this fella here. So written and directed by this dude, George Gallo. Now, he's also the director of the film Trapped in Paradise.
Great movie.
Ooh. Okay.
That's the Nick Cage movie?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, nice. Him, Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
Judd Lovitz.
Yeah. And he also did Double Take, the Eddie Griffin, Orlando Jones movie.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
But now, here's where the rabbit hole exploded. So he's in a... he's created his own little, let's call it a cinematic universe. Because so get this. This guy, George Gallo, a lot of also writing credits, including he's got a story credit on Bad Boys. So every time they fucking make a Bad Boys movie, this dude is just getting character residuals, which is interesting. But another movie that he wrote and they made sequels to, which I was unaware of until this morning, this dude wrote the classic film Midnight Run.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
So what they did was several years after Midnight Run, in the early 90s, we started a Midnight Runiverse movie world where Christopher McDonald replaces De Niro's character.
Okay.
And let me tell you, right? Here's the thing. All three of these guys.
Three?
In 1994. So we are banging out these TV movies.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Titles. Another Midnight Run. Midnight Runaround.
Okay.
And you guessed it, because we are really doing fucking Wheel of Fortune before and after here. Midnight Run for Your Life.
Wow, for your life.
All better of these than, are Christopher McDonald playing the fucking Skip Tracer.
I will say it is better than yet another Midnight Run. If you're going to go, that, I think that should, it's Inf- better to go for the
inferior
title.
To a film that I love, Midnight Reach Around, which classic film, powerful stuff.
I just, so like, that's going to be something to find in full on YouTube, I bet.
Oh, man.
So Eric, we have another one here.
Yes, I'll keep this brief, folks. This is a terrible secret movie, but let's get to it. The Best Man.
Wow.
That is right. Well, after I rented Ritual Killer, thank God I can write that off my taxes now that I told you about it.
Can I make a wild guess, Eric?
Yes, please.
There's far more Brendan Fair in this film than I would appreciate.
You're right. But the combo, an action straight to streaming action movie starring Dolph Lundgren and Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richie Tenenbaum.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to check it out, and I wish I hadn't, because they're trying to do a contained thing where it's like, oh, we're getting all these people to my wedding, and Luke Wilson was a mercenary with Dolph Lundgren, and is he going to be the best man at my wedding? Of course, the wedding gets attacked by other mercenaries.
And
it sounds better than it is on paper, because like, there's so much you could do with that. You could shoot around the cake. The cake could explode. Stuff could happen. You barely see anything in this movie.
How is that not the opening to whatever the next Expendables is? Why not just use it for this shit? Who cares?
That sucks.
It's pretty boring, I have to say.
All right. Ugh. Does anyone say "Till Death Do Us Part" before shooting someone in the head?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, might as well title this Missed Opportunity then.
It's not worth checking out, folks, unfortunately.
Poor Dolph.
Has anyone seen another movie that this dude wrote? I don't think he directed it. It's the Scott Adkins movie Close Range.
I think I've been dancing around it. I don't think I've actually watched it yet, but I should now to see how bad he can make that movie.
I have not caught the Scott Adkins bug like you folks, which is totally fair.
No, you got to do it. You got to catch it.
I got to catch it.
You got to catch it.
Avengers, but
What's that?
I said Avengement is good.
Avengement's
a good movie. A good prison type of movie, Avengement, I would recommend. And also Ninja 2 is my favorite that he did.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So those are a couple secret movies out there, folks. You can rent them right now, should you choose, before they fall into Tubi obscurity. But that's going to do it for this week's On Screen Live. Now, the fun is only getting started here in the WHMU, because tomorrow... Steve, We Hate Movies is back on the air. And what classic film are we talking about?
Oh, The Weasel is back, ladies and gentlemen, because we're talking Son-in-Law.
Oh, yes. Look at that Munch classic grinded. Poster, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
Eric, I think this is far closer to a WLM than anyone would ever think.
I think so, too. We all kind of have a soft spot for this movie, and it looks like a lot of people do, too. So that's great.
Yeah, so that's good. If you're out there in the chat, you're watching this, you think we're going to be totally like railing on the movie. No, it's actually, surprisingly, pleasantly, a nice little celebration of Pauly Shore. What was not a nice celebration was when a bunch of 40 or just about year old men rewatched the cartoon Rugrats to do an episode for Animation Damnation, which comes out this Thursday.
It's a tough one, folks. That was tough watch.
Fun listen, tough watch. That's right. Yeah.
That's right. But what was super fun and not tough at all was the two fucking kick-ass episodes of 90210 and Melrose Place that we watched for this month's Melrose 210. You know, it was a pretty epic 90210, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it blew it out of the water. I'm going to be a little bit of a spoiler here. It blew it out of the water this month. It really
did. I'm still bummed, honestly. You could hear I have a bit of a cold. I was too sick to record that last week, so I'm really excited. Yeah. I'm just like you, folks. I'm excited to listen to
this. If you love Melrose 210, which Steve usually hosts, if you want him not on the show, this is the episode
for you. If that was your hang-up about it, now is your time to shine. No, we miss Steve.
No, but, of course.
You know, two really great episodes of those shows. So that was a lot of, you know, weird fun. So that'll come out on Friday on the Patreon. And speaking of the Patreon and speaking of things that release Fridays, if you missed it last week, Steve and I did about almost 90 minutes wrapping up that third and final season of Star Trek Picard on Making It So, which is available now on the Patreon as well. So, you know, get that in. Great convo was had there, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, so that's it, gang. As always, a ton of content. But thank you for starting your week with us and hopefully taking us throughout the rest of the work week with you. So that's it. We'll see you here next week, Monday at noon Eastern on Screen Live. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy, folks. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.